This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. For Coloradans who've been here a while, this summer may be leading to a bad case of deja vu. 10 years ago, this state went through a similar season of parching drought and devastating wildfires. Towns ran out of water. Ranchers had to sell their herds. Hundreds of homes were lost to fire. Well, we want to know what 2002 can tell us about these current challenges. So for the rest of the week, we'll look at lessons learned and opportunities missed in the last decade. We call the series Scorched Summers. Now, I came to Colorado a little after 2002, and when those of us in the newsroom who are newer to the state have wanted to hear about 02, we've turned to CPR's health reporter, Eric Whitney. He's a Colorado native, has spent most of his career reporting here. And in 02, that meant covering wildfire and drought. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Ryan.
2002 had two of the largest wildfires in the state's history, the Hayman Fire south of Denver, the Missionary Ridge Fire near Durango, and that's where you were at the time. The Hayman ended up being the most destructive, we should say. Now, this year has shattered some of those records. Tell us what you were doing that summer.
I was freelancing the summer of 2002 and ended up spending most of my time down in Durango covering the Missionary Ridge Fire because it was such a big story. And I was listening to some of my tape that I got from back then, and I want to play a little bit just to sort of help take us back to 2002. I recorded this on the floor of the Animas River Valley. It's just this huge river valley that spills down out of the San Juan Mountains. Durango sits at the south end of it. You know, day after day, all summer long, people in Durango woke up to this, the sound of firefighting air tankers flying in from the airport outside town, helicopters lifting off from the valley floor. It made the whole place feel like a war zone. And, you know, there was this huge plume of black smoke that would rise up over the valley every day as the air got warmer. And, you know, there was a huge tent city, thousands of firefighters camped out at the La Plata County Fairgrounds that was right in the middle of town. And it really did feel like an occupation.
Except, of course, that the troops would have been quite welcome fighting this fire. Mm-hmm. And these are scenes that are quite familiar to people who live around Fort Collins and Colorado Springs this summer.
Yeah, you know, it's one thing to hear about wildfires in the news and to see the video on TV, but you don't really know what it's like until one happens right in your backyard. Even this year, I don't think people in Colorado Springs had any idea what people in Fort Collins were going through until the Waldo Canyon fire erupted right west of Colorado Springs.
Now, you live just outside Colorado Springs today, and I just wonder if watching the Waldo Canyon fire took you back to Durango in 2002.
It really did, both in terms of the natural phenomenon, the fire itself, and people's reactions to it. You know, seeing that huge dark plume of smoke rise up over the city 10, 20,000 feet in the air and blocking out the sun, and seeing the hillsides winking with these orange lights of the fire at night. It's hard to see that and not to feel a sense of dread and even fear. Even if your house isn't directly threatened, you know that very little can be done to stop this, short of Mother Nature coming in and dumping some serious rain.
Well, and of course, in 2002, the rain just wouldn't fall, and it was actually drier then.
Right, yeah. Even though it's really, really dry right now, last year was unusually wet across most of Colorado. So there's some reserves built up in the reservoirs and stuff. But 2002 was the fourth year of a drought, and it just seemed like it was never going to end. You know, every day it would get just a little bit worse. One of the stories I did that summer was about a hay lift that farmers in Wisconsin organized to send animal feed to Colorado because the livestock here was just hurting so bad. There was just nothing for them to eat. People in the Midwest donated tons and tons of hay, and they put it on these trains and shipped it out to Colorado, and then volunteers picked it up in Alamosa and hauled it over Wolf Creek Pass in trucks. It was really touching to see that, but it was also an indication of just really how desperate things were.
And how the rest of the nation was aware of it. We're going to be hearing how ranchers are faring this year later this week in our series. 2002, of course, was less than a year after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. And I just wonder if that played into people's responses to, you know, this additional trauma of fires.
Definitely. I think that first summer after the attacks, Colorado was really set back. You know, the whole country was reeling from this post-9/11 recession. People weren't really traveling like before. And in Durango, a particularly tourism-dependent part of the state, people were really struggling and they were worried about the future. And then to have these huge fires, it just deflated what was already going to be a tough tourist season and amplified fear about the future.
You did a story for NPR that summer, again, 2002, and it was about the economic hit Colorado tourism was taking.
Yeah, and as I said, that was felt pretty acutely in Durango. You know, two of its biggest tourist draws actually shut down for several weeks because of the fire.
Wow.
Yeah, the Durango and Silverton narrow gauge train, they lost about half their business for the year. And Mesa Verde National Park, which is west of Durango, it draws about 2 million visitors in a normal summer. They had a fire that summer that destroyed its water treatment plant and some other stuff. The park was actually closed for a few weeks, and that was just a huge blow to tourism in the Four Corners area.
When you were scanning your archives from back then, I wonder if you recall talking to any tourists who came anyway.
Yeah, I did. I found an interview on some of the old mini discs that I recorded back then. Terry and June Walsh came all the way from England.
We had never been down to Durango before, so we thought we'd try this.
See the train.
Come down specifically to see the train.
The train, which was not operating?
It was operating by the time they got there. They were lucky enough to get there right after the railroad reopened. But, you know, they admitted that they only followed through on their Colorado vacation because it was just too late to cancel their reservations.
They were committed.
Yeah. So, they told me they still had a good time. And certainly there weren't a lot of big crowds to fight down there. But it was a very different kind of Durango that they experienced than tourists do in a typical year.
Now, one thing we see after wildfires is that communities come together, people help one another, and there's often a big outpouring of appreciation for firefighters.
Definitely. You know, I saw that in Colorado Springs a couple of weeks ago, people lining one of the streets that the fire trucks took to shuttle firefighters to the front lines. You know, people just waving signs and flags and yelling and shouting when the trucks go by and clapping. It was very much the same in Durango in 2002. I actually did a story about tattoo parlors down there offering free tattoos for firefighters. You know, people just pouring out all kinds of generosity. A dominant memory for me of the 2002 summer was a memorial service for the one fire crew member who died at Missionary Ridge. This is at the high school football field in Bayfield, Colorado. It's just a little east of Durango. The young man who died, Alan Wayne Wyatt, was actually part of the recovery team that goes into areas that have just burned and then surveys them for hazards so that it's safe for people to come in later and do revegetation and erosion control. Often there are these partially burned trees that are really unstable and a good stiff breeze can just knock them over. It's really dangerous. He was actually killed by one of these falling trees, and hundreds of firefighters and locals came out to his memorial service. We should note that Wyatt wasn't even from Durango. He's one of the people that come in from all over the country to help out with fires.
Incredible.
Yeah, it was a pretty amazing scene. You know, the stands at the little football stadium there were filled full of firefighters in their green and yellow uniforms, you know, American flags everywhere and emergency vehicles in the parking lot. And then, you know, the backdrop for the whole thing was that big black plume of smoke up to the north, this monster just devouring the mountains.
So, Eric, the goal of the series that we're starting today, Scorched Summers, is to see what we can learn from the summer of 2002, what others have learned or not since then. As you look back, do you see changes in how the state is reacting to the challenges this year?
I'm actually a little surprised at how little has changed. You know, the danger of cataclysmic fire is just as high, probably higher with all the beetle kill in the forest that wasn't around in 2002. There's even more people living at risk, living in this wildland-urban interface that's a dangerous place to be. You know, the only big change that I saw is our governor seems to be a little more careful about protecting the state's image. You know, Governor Owens had that famous quote that all of Colorado is burning, and then he quickly came out and said less than 1% of all the public land in the state is burning. And this year we heard Governor Hickenlooper just say that last part. He came out and said it's less than 1% that's burning. It may appear terrible on television news, but it's actually a very small part of the state.
It was a comment that Owens ended up regretting for sure, that all of Colorado is burning.
And it's one that people in Colorado definitely remember a decade later.
Eric, thanks so much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Eric Whitney is CPR's health reporter today, but in the summer of 2002, he was covering the Missionary Ridge fire near Durango. It was a dry and fiery season, and 10 years later, we're finding out what it can tell us about similar conditions today. Our series Scorched Summers continues after a break with what Colorado has learned in the last decade about managing forests. Let's just say there's room for improvement. This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio.